What up? Welcome back to another edition of the Bad Podcast. Brad and Dwayne, and here my brother Brad. Brad, what are we talking about today, brother?
We're going to talk about small town kids making it on the big stage. Here's the quote I got from today. Think big, dream big, believe big, and the result will be big.
Hey, let's get it.
Hey, good job, guys. Good job. Mental battle.
Man, eat some for life, baby. What it look like, what it be like, what it do. Back in here, another episode of the Bad Podcast, Brad and Dwayne, and we have a special guest. But before we get into our special guest, man, we are live currently in our Eager to Run group, man. Shout out to the Eager to Run Club. Make sure if you are a runner, or if you're not a runner, or if you're a walker, or if you have 2 feet or 1 foot, please join the Eager to Run Club, man. There's a free run club on Facebook. So, all right, man. Brad, man, somebody next to you, brother. I don't know him. You know him somewhat, man. Let's get into this.
I've known this guy for a long time, since he was in fifth grade, way back in 2013, I think. Man, I'm starting to date myself a little bit. But this is one of those proud teacher-coach moments where I get to bring on a former student, former athlete. So John, man, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I think you're muted.
I'm muted. All right.
There you go.
I'm John Swabik. I'm a decathlete at the University of Colorado Boulder. Going into my senior year as a redshirt junior. I know, it's crazy. Time flies. I also do school out here. I'm a sociology major. With a leadership and community engagement minor, and also an education minor. We're trying to do both things out here, and we had some success last season after coming back from the injury. We're riding on a high right now, that's for sure.
I love it, man. And today what we're going to talk about and where we're going to kind of steer this conversation is, you know, taking yourself out of a small town and plugging yourself into the big, I mean, on the grandest stage. I mean, you're a Division I athlete, and that doesn't happen very often from small towns that we come from. I'm from a small town. Dwayne's from a small town. You're from a small town. And that just doesn't happen without first making a promise to for yourself, you know, and holding yourself accountable to that promise. I want to talk about discomfort for a second, because when you come from a small town like we do, and you go to a place like Colorado, you're a buffalo. I want to talk about that discomfort that you felt maybe in the early stages when you got there. Was it comfortable for you, or were you, I mean, did you have fear?
Yeah. So, I mean, most specifically when I first came out here, I didn't know anybody, not a soul. So it was just me. I'm an 18-year-old kid from New York, like a little tiny town, like you were saying. So it was very scary. But then more running and track specific, it was even more pressure, because I'm now labeled as a D1 runner or whatnot. And, you know, I didn't have a, you know, real coach in high school. You know, it's like, I don't know if necessarily I know what I'm doing, but I don't know. After just taking that leap of faith and stepping out, and having the confidence and the belief that I could do it, it made the uncomfortable moments a little better. And it kind of was able to square me up to like the people around me in a way, and like, be like, you know what? I do belong here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, man. Brad,
I'm gonna interrupt, because I was about to say, was Brad your coach in high school? He's like, I didn't have a real coach.
I was not his coach. I was not his coach.
I'm sorry.
No, man. That's really important to talk about, John, because, you know, when you were in high school, I remember when you were training for the USA trials or whatever it was. What was it exactly?
It was the Junior Olympics.
Junior Olympics. I remember when you were training for that, and you know, you didn't grow up as a decathlete, but you know, you got yourself on the grandest stage of decathlons because you were able to place yourself in those discomfort situation or those uncomfortable situations. Now, what you're talking about with the courage and the confidence. Man, you don't get courage. You don't get confidence just by showing up and kind of going through the motions. Man, you have to surround yourself with those people that you need to level up with.
Yeah,
now, I follow you on social media. Level up every day. I follow Mama on social media, and it seems like every week that you know, she posts, because I follow you, man. And again, I'm really proud of you. But every week, man, it seems like you PR. Is that true?
Pretty much, yeah. It's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. We've had incredible gains since coming here, mm-hmm. In every facet. Mm-hmm. So it's honestly, yeah, it's just like a dream come true. It's a dream come true. And it's a testament to what showing up every day with the right mindset can do, honestly.
Yeah. Man, so I want to talk about something real quick, and you know, you again are on. I mean, you're a Division I athlete. There's only a couple stages above where you're at. I want to talk about training, okay? Because you know, as a high school athlete, you know, I would make up a fitness program for you or some of the other kids, you know, and you follow that fitness program, and that will get you to a certain point. But when you get to where you're at, and you're talking fractions of seconds or fractions of inches, like you just that much. Can be the make or break point of qualifying for something bigger, right? So I want to talk about your training real quick. When it comes to coaching, what are those things that you're doing now that you never even thought of 5 years ago? I can't even believe you're a senior, man. That's just wild in itself. 5 years ago, you never even thought about what are the things that you're doing today to get yourself that 1 inch or that 1 second?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's changed from a lot more entry level things. And honestly, I think the biggest change I noticed is actually in the weight room. Mm. And we don't lift more than twice a week during the season, which may seem kind of crazy, but it's really just, we use it as like supporting lifts. But yeah, the biggest thing that I've noticed is in the weight room, I guess you would always think lift heavy, you know, but we don't. We kind of do a lot of different strengthening, different muscles that normally people who lift at in the gym would not. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I don't know, maybe that's probably the best answer I have, is just some of the exercises in the weight room are I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. But they just support what we do out of the weight room so well that, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. And I'm glad you came with that answer, because that's what I was hoping you would say, because that's oftentimes, because as a run coach, that's oftentimes the missing component, right? Somebody wants to be a great runner and all they do is run. Well, you need to have the strength. You need to have the muscle to support your running journey. So I'm glad you said that. And one of the common themes that everybody that goes to college sports and plays at the next level, the collegiate level, they come back to high school and say, Mr. Barmore, Mr. Harper, whoever, I wish I would have taken you up on that lifting, because that's the thing that took me over the top. And, you know, that's precisely what you're saying. So that's pretty neat. Hey man, I want to talk about something else real quick. You are you're a beacon, man. You are somebody that has paved the way for a lot of young people back home. You know, what's something that a piece of advice for somebody back home that doesn't think that they're capable, doesn't think they're talented, doesn't think that they're worthy? What's a piece of advice you have for those people back home?
Yeah. I mean, a piece of advice that I would have is, first, I think it's most important to determine if you truly love it first, which a lot of times when someone's having this debate or discussion, they already love it. So it's that part's, you know, but once you truly love it, then I think it's important to take it into your own, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but just take
your own control.
Your own control over what you're going to do next. And I don't know. Yeah. I mean, no one can tell you, you can't go try at least, you know? So it's like, that's what I would say.
Yeah. So I, you know, not just your hometown, I'll say, you know, that's a message for any hometown, when it comes to, but what I love about what you said is like, make sure you truly love it. And that's something that I think a lot of, almost all of athletes miss, because, and it's weird the way we discover the love for the thing, we have to hurt by it. We have to be hurt by it in order to love it. Cause when you was talking about, you know, training in high school and preparing, you know, and I'm thinking about when I played football, when I played basketball, anything that was uncomfortable, I didn't want to do it. You know, anything that took me out of my comfort zone, anything that was hard, cause a lot of stuff came natural. And so I think that love comes from pain, man. Whenever you are willing to endure some pain for that sport or for that thing, man, that's when you really know. And like I said, a lot of athletes miss that because they may be gifted and everything come easy. But then when the pain comes, they're like, oh, man. And they're like, oh, you don't love it, man. You know, mm-hmm. So I think that was really cool that you mentioned that, man. Like Brad said, man, I'm also from a small town as well, man. And so my question is, you know, what are your plans moving forward, man? You're a senior. It's time to start thinking about the future. And I know I heard education in there as far as some of the things. What are some of the future plans and ways that you're going to move forward in your journey?
Yeah. So I am a senior this coming up year, but I do plan on staying a fifth year. There's a nice little 1 year accelerated master's program. It's a little leadership thing that I think would be a good fit. It's like an all online deal, so it would be flexible for my track schedule. But yeah, since I had that redshirt year, I might as well use it. You know, it's like,
yeah, absolutely.
I think 2 years from now I could be on the podium at nationals, you know? Yeah. So it's like, I want to go after it. I'm pretty adamant about that still. I mean, if I'm here, I might as well do it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe 2028, who knows?
Hey, raise the bar, baby. I like it. Hey, if you, man, 2028 rolls around, send us some tickets, all right? We'll figure out travel. You just give us a ticket.
We will pull up.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know, and Dwayne said it right there best. You know, you have to embrace the hurt until you fall in love with it. You know, there's days that you don't want to get out of bed. There's days that you don't want to train. There's days that coach tells you, hey, we're doing sprint intervals today. Today we're doing the weight room. We're embracing that thing. And I don't know if you guys saw Tom Brady's speech, you know, hate him, love him. The guy's a winner, you know, and to go through the trials and tribulations that he's gone through and to get him to where he's at today, like it's – he's a testament of hard work. But he said everybody should play football. And this is just relatable to anything that's hard. You know, you're raising the bar every day with your athletics. And it could be reading, it could be relationships, it could be your profession, anything. Embrace the hard thing because it teaches you so much about life. Because life, you know, wherever you're at in life, it's hard, man. Like there's days that will test you. There's days that will knock you down. And, you know, there's days that you don't want to do what coach tells you to do, but you are passionate about that thing. You have fallen in love with the process because you know, if you fall in love with the process and you know, when you're consumed by the process, you're almost obsessed with the process. Because there's always that carrot, right? There's always that nugget. There's always that product or that result that you're in pursuit of. Podium 2028. Yeah. We're coming for it. You, Johnny, you're coming for it, man. Hey, man, I got to tell a story real quick. And this takes me back to 2013. And I told Dwayne, I said, I don't know if I'll mention this or not, but I'm going to mention it. So
do it.
Take it back, John, to 2013. All right. It was about this time of year because we were playing some dodgeball. And okay. John was always there's two stories I'm going to tell about John and a testament of who John is. So one, we're playing dodgeball, and he was always one of the last people in the game. Always, man. The kid was a stud from day one. And I chucked the dodgeball across the entire gym, hit him right in the face. And, right in the kisser is what Dwayne says. And he started to get upset. He was crying. So I walked up to him. I said, "Hey, John, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you in the face." He said, "I'm not hurt. I'm just mad that I lost." and that was a testament to who John Swabik is to me. And that's the day that I found out, you know, John's going to go through some of the ups and downs, and he's not going to give up until he wins. And the second story that I have, and John was the only student in my 10 years of teaching that won every single championship in every single unit for the entire year. And I always tell that story because there's something called a try hard or a gym class hero or something along those lines, right? I love a gym class hero. I love a try hard because how you do some things is how you do all things. John was on the honor roll. John was an all-state athlete. Everything that John did, he was up here because he was a try hard. And this goes to everybody that ever watches this podcast episode. If anybody ever calls you a try hard, say, "You're darn right I am. In everything that I do and all that I do, yes, I am a tryhard." And if they knock you down a little bit, that might not be the right person in your circle. So, John, shout out to you, man. 2028, you're coming. Is there anything you want to leave the viewers with today?
Ooh, I mean, I had a point to say.
Yeah, shoot it.
When you were talking about how there's different challenges and how things can be hard, but the passion kind of holds you in. I feel like with the decathlon, it's kind of a perfect analogy because it's a 2-day long event. It's extremely grueling. It's a long thing. But when you're done, it makes it that much sweeter just because of how tough it was to get. Mm-hmm. And I think that applies with anything really in life. It's like, it's not going to be super cool if it was easy to do, if everyone could do it. Yeah. But if you work for it and you put sweat, tears, blood, all into it, it's going to be so much sweeter. It's going to be worth it.
Yeah. And that's what we're living by on a daily basis, Johnny, raising the bar, man. And, you couldn't have said it better yourself because, you know, if you say you want to be a millionaire someday, right? You want to be a million, you want to make $1 million in a year. If you set the bar at $50,000, what's going to happen is you're probably going to fall shy of that $50,000. You're not going to be satisfied, right? But if you want to make $1 million in a year, what do? You set that bar at 1.5 million. And if you fall short of that, you're going to be damn close to that 1 million mark. Same thing goes for anything. Decathlon, you know, you don't set the bar to place. You set the bar at number one in anything that you do. And if you fall short of that number one, that doesn't mean you're a failure. That just means that you have a little bit more room to grow. And that's with anything in life, man. So that's a great point to cap this thing off with.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, John, we're going to transition to the Do You Know or Did You Know moment or segment of the show. This is an opportunity for you to share with our listeners something that people either never heard about you or don't know about you or, you know, anything like that. You know, we have people reveal like extra toes and, you know, people confess to crimes that, you know, it's past the statute of limitation. But all of that's welcome here at the Do You Know or Did You Know moment. And I have a video that I'm going to play that's going to give you an opportunity to think of that Do You Know or Did You Know moment. But it is short, so here it goes.
Do you know?
Video's over. Hope you're ready. Here we go. What is the Do You Know or Did You Know moment?
Yeah, I don't think I have something too interesting, but I actually started. So I'll tell you guys how I got into running. I didn't know about it really. And there was actually the Sherman Day 5K. It was happening. And my mom was kind of into running because she was trying to lose some weight and she was trying to do good for herself. Mm-hmm. So her and her running buddy were going to enter this race and they didn't want to do it alone. So they were like, "You want to do it?" I'm like, "Sure." So I put on a pair of her old Nike running shoes. They were pink, I remember. And I never ran really ever. And I went out. I was wearing my little presidential shirt that I got when I was younger. And, yeah, I ran well. And I guess discovered that I could run. But I was actually a distance runner for my first 2 years of college, or not college, of school, track. But then, yeah, soon after I changed, but I still have that distance base in me, so I can still run that 1500. You know, I can last, but I would never run distance again, ever.
I love it, man. That is a cool fact, man. You got into running wearing your mama's pink Nikes. That's what I'm gonna remember.
Hey, one more story. I got one more story, man.
All right, bring it on, bro.
I'm just living in the glory days right now. I remember, so we did the mile training every year, the mile test every year. And we had a record board, right? And every day, John walked into that gym, I got my sixth grade record, my fifth grade record, my fourth grade record, my third grade record, my second grade record, got my first grade record. He goes, anybody ever going to break those? I said, not anytime soon, Johnny. And I remember, I think it was fifth or sixth grade, he ran like a 5:30 mile or something wild like that. And, you know, there were so many moments in my professional career where I saw John, the hitch and pitch. So many moments in basketball, so many moments just across the board that I knew John was going to go and do great things. And you have a level of expectation for yourself. And that's something that John always strived to exceed. He wasn't striving to get there. He was striving to exceed his own expectations and his own limitations. And all that he will do, I expect big things from John Swabek.
Good stuff. I think we can close on that one. You good, B?
Man, I'm good. Raise the bar.
Let's get it.